I'm your host, Carrie Errata, Akashic Records reader, psychic sleuth, and spiritual guide. And this is The Infinite Dance, the Akashic Podcast. We ask for guidance from the Universal Spirit Creator, our angels and our spirit guides, to move from soul to subconscious, from subconscious to conscious being, to higher self. We request protected conduit to the realm of the highest good, aligned only to light, so that we may raise our frequencies for the good of all beings, and so that we may step back to see and to be. We do request 100% connection to source and 100% gold cord at heart chakra. With thanks, humility, grace, and love, so mote it be. Welcome to season 4. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we are in 4 seasons already, and this would be, I think, like my 100th episode. So thank you so much for continuing to listen to The Infinite Dance. If you've been listening to me for a while, if you're new, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much. Your support means the world to me. Or else I'd just be chatting into the void, which sometimes I feel like I am. So this is the first episode of season 4, and we're going to be talking about the year of the wood dragon. So in Chinese astrology, their new year starts on the lunar, the first new moon of the year. And so that's where we're at, which coincides to me a little bit more with Imbolc and that pagan holiday. So it's always aligned. It always felt really bright. And that's kind of always when I wanted to start doing things, more around the Chinese New Year, right? So the wood dragon. So there's always an element included in the different animals. So there's the animal and then the element. And this year it's wood. So think of tree trunk, standing strong, right? Standing firm in your your power, but also being agile, right? Because the tree has branches that move with the seasons and the weather. And with the dragon. So first, I'm going to go ahead and get into what and how is Chinese astrology different. So if you're not familiar, Chinese astrology goes by 12-year cycles represented by 12 animals. And those are rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. And I'll have a link in the show notes. If you don't know your Chinese astrology sign, I'll leave a link and you can find out. Okay. It's always by the year you were born. Luck for each of these signs depends on the positions of Tai Sui. I hope I'm saying that right. A collective name for the stellar deities thought to rotate parallel to an opposite direction of Jupiter, planet of luck. So cool, right? Love that. So let's get into a little bit of more of the meaning of the celebrations around, just in general, and then we'll get into the traits of the dragon, how we're going to use the dragon energy this year, how it can affect us collectively. And I'll have a couple examples of that, like I always do. So red is a huge color in Chinese culture. And it's no different in this astrology. There's countless folk tales attached to the Lunar New Year. Okay, Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year. And there's a myth of Nian that stands out as kind of a fun myth. Nian as a ferocious underwater is a ferocious or was, however you want to see this, underwater beast with sharp teeth and horns. Every lunar New Year's Eve, it crawled onto the land and attacked a nearby village. On one such occasion, as the villagers rushed into hiding, a mysterious old man showed up and insisted on sticking around despite being warned of impending doom. To the villagers' surprise, the old man and the village survived utterly unscathed. The old man claimed to have scared Neon away by hanging red banners on the door, lighting firecrackers, and donning red clothing. This is why wearing the fiery red color, along with hanging red banners and lighting firecrackers or fireworks on Lunar New Year, are Lunar New Year traditions, all of which are still followed today. Traditionally, these celebrations can be one day or up to 15 days. So there's a lot of work that goes into these holidays. There's all kinds of foods. Again, I'll attach all this so you can kind of see. But one food that always stuck out for me, probably because I really like it, is noodles for longevity. To eat, to consume on Lunar New Year. And for me, this year I ate Singapore noodles, which are a rice noodle, and mine had shrimp. And they have a curry seasoning. They're really good if you haven't had it. But that was how I celebrated the Lunar New Year. And there's videos too on YouTube where you can kind of see all of the different things that go on, the different foods that are consumed and why. Rice cakes. And those signify success and improvements, which is great for this year because the year of the dragon's a great year to restart, kind of renew. Steamed fish is a popular thing to eat to help bless the new year. Again, noodles for longevity. And you can't break it. I see people break their noodles, their long noodles, before they put them in a pot because they don't want them to burn. But you just got to stand there. And you got to spin them. Put a little oil in the water. So if you're making the noodles Asian flavored, I usually put in sesame oil. Or if I'm making the noodles more Mediterranean flavor, I'll put olive oil in. But I put my noodles in long. And if, even if you have a gas burning stove, just turn it once you get it to where it's boiling, turn it lower while those noodles are starting to do their, soften, and they won't burn. They won't get burned by that flame. Just don't have that flame so high. Dumplings. It's more about their appearance. And to me, it's like you have this, the like a golden surprise, right? I mean, you've got this little pouch with something yummy inside, right? Whether the dumplings are sweet or savory. And then sweet rice dumplings symbolize harmony and togetherness in Chinese culture. So very specific. And again, I'll post this and you can kind of see all the different things, that they talk about doing, whether it's how you prepare the food or the little red packets that wish wealth and prosperity for a new year, which is very traditional greeting. And also to protect children, to ward off evil spirits. Again, called Sui, which is from that myth, Nian, that I had told you that little story. So let's get into the traits of the dragon. So that's basically the Chinese New Year. An overview, okay. And the traits of the dragon Of course, there's that magical, right, aspect of dragon, auspicious, extraordinary, right? It's imagine seeing a dragon in the sky with your naked eye, not your third eye. How cool would that be? Unparalleled in talent and excellence. Dragons symbolize power, nobility, honor, luck, and success. 2024, Wood Dragon Year, is forecasted to bring about opportunities, changes, and challenges. So, again, if something's going to change, there's probably going to be a challenge involved with it, right? Think of our tower movements. There's usually something good, something new that comes on the other side of that. So if you're seeking a shift in your current life, in any part of your life, this is the year that offers a more favorable chance for that. Okay. So when you're manifesting around the new moons this year, really think about what you're trying to create, what kind of reality you're trying to create for yourself for this year, because Dragon Year is going to be the year to help us usher that in. And I am all for that. So again, I'll post these different websites I was referencing for some of this information. Here's more of my take on Dragon Year, and how we embrace the different aspects of dragon. So in meditation this morning, the analogy, or not just analogy, let me back up. The closeness to higher realms, okay? Even though dragons are earthbound, right? They can fly and they can be up high and closer to heavens, messengers of God, Allah, universal spirit creator, however you call higher power. In this form of messenger, and I'm getting more protector messenger, reminding us to look to the higher realms, have faith in all we do. And we're really needing to embrace that with everything that's going on in our world right now. Things are so up in the air, and we're unsure of what's going to happen. We're rendered powerless in a lot of ways with what's going on in Palestine. Because if you don't live there, even if you did live there, if you're nearby, I mean, it's like, what do you do, right? For me, I'm banning, boycotting companies that I know give direct money to this, to Israel, and it infuriates me beyond. Here's comes my inner dragon, that my tax dollars, because I live in the United States, go to help aid Israel and this genocide that is going on. So staying really close to high realms, invocation. We start every podcast episode. I begin every session in group or is in one-on-one sessions with the invocation. So we're connecting to higher realm of who needs to be around us at all times. And remember, when we're feeling these feelings of disgust and what the heck and how and sadness, right? That pure like sadness when I see the different footage, it can bring in that, but please don't back away from viewing or knowing what's going on. It's very important that you stand up to this and see it so you know. Make your decisions after seeing it, basically, is what I'm hearing. Don't, oh, I just can't look. Oh, I just can't watch. Guess what? Can you imagine being there? Could you imagine watching your mom or your child or your spouse die in front of you? That would be, I wouldn't even know. How would you take a next step? Right? How do you breathe? So we must know. We must see what's happening. And we've got the strength that's coming from Dragon Year, right? We got this protector mode, because dragons can be great protectors to help with taking in this information. No, it's not to say you're going to sit there and you're going to, it's hard to even articulate, because I've never been in this situation. I don't know what it's like to sit and wonder what's going to happen. You know, I've never lived through a genocide, at least to my knowledge. And so, conscious knowledge, I should say. But please don't not look away, and please keep sharing. And from here on out, you guys know, if you're tuning in, my podcast will heavily talk about Palestine and ceasing fire, so that these people stop being killed and wiped off the earth. So dragon, let's get back into dragon traits that are going to help with all this. So dragon is mythical, right? Magical. Dragon has earth powers, right? Fire to protect, breathe out that fire, to warm. You go warm up yourself with fire, cook, nourish, and for fuel. A large presence. I am here. Take note. This is a reminder to us to protect each other and think communally. To think communally. This is really new for us, and I'm going to touch on that in a minute a little more. To set boundaries at no cost. Okay, and that's taking a stand. Not taking a stand right now in this day and time is just as bad as holding a gun to a person's head to kill them. It's hard to talk about, it's hard to put myself in the shoes, because I couldn't even know. I mean, this is so not in reality of anybody's reality, right? But it is for Palestine right now. And again, if you're confused or you're like, but what about Israel? They're not being killed like Palestinians are. They're not being wiped off the earth. And this is not about Hamas. And this is not about religion. This is about getting rid of a people for power and money and greed. That's all it's about. And we've got a genocidal maniac at the helm pulling all the puppet strings. So again, I always have links to professors and groups that this is what they do. And if you want to know more of stuff that you're not being told, okay? Because remember, we get a certain amount of information that is controlled. So we're getting propaganda at all times, if you're in the United States and anywhere pretty much. So you really have to seek these things out to know that there's other things happening that were not being shown and not seen. The protect or to set boundaries at no cost. When I wrote that, I heard be weird, be rude, stay safe. And that's from a true crime podcast that I enjoy called Crime Junkie. And they really, they're on a mission. They tell the stories of people that have been murdered or missing, and they really try to help in various ways They've gotten large, so they're able to help with DNA analysis and funding that, and being advocates for the families in trying to help find whoever had, you know, harmed, murdered, etc. So I thought that was interesting that that came up too, with the boundaries, because even though we're working communally, it's okay. It's okay to still say, "Hey, I need a timeout," or "Oh, hey, I just need to go catch my breath, right, and have my own thoughts in my head for a minute." So don't think that you can't also have that, and you can also say no, and to speak your truth, right? I have a lot of people that do not like the fact that I speak my truth, and I think the truth, from what I'm being shown, and from higher realm, and from what I'm seeing from people that are on the ground in Palestine. So that would get into, don't stay away from your powers, even if others want to shun you or gloss over how the magic is so needed for not only your soul growth, but growth of community. So staying in the mindset of don't lose sight of spirit. Don't lose sight of your gifts that you came into this world with. Don't lose sight of things that are special to you that give you that magical edge here, right? And that make you sparkly to those in a bad time, okay? It's not to say that how can I say this? We don't want to just be surfacey, okay? This isn't surfacey. This is deep down soul trauma that we're watching on the palms of our hands right now, okay? But when we stand in our magic and know it and speak it, okay, and that's your power, that is your stance, is so needed for not only your soul growth, but the growth of community. So that's really important to keep in mind, that that's gonna help all, but we can't not look. You can't not look. And I had a client the other day for a massage, and she said, one of my mantras, because she's been dealing with some hip pain for a couple of years, she says, one of my mantras is the only way over is through. And I say, I tell that to my clients all the time. And I tell myself that too. You have to look at it. You have to look at the disappointment. You have to look at the sadness. You have to look at what's going on right now in order to get to not have it happen anymore and to not have it happen again. It's the only way to transmute it. You can only transmute something if you can define it. If you can't define it, then guess what? It's just still sitting there being disappointing, being sad, being traumatic, being genocidal, right? So you have to look at it. You just have to. I don't know how else to say this. And I'm being really harsh. And if I come across harsh, but it's needed. Because there's no sneaking around of this right now. There's no tiptoeing around anything. Like, shit has hit all the fans. And it is everywhere. And we need people to wake up. And we probably won't see a lot of people wake up. They will probably still continue to be asleep, but we need more and more to wake up. And that's why I keep talking as much as I am, okay, about this. That's why everything is going to be about this until we see these people not being wiped off the face of the earth. Speaking of, so I'm going to relate this to a couple things. Speaking of soul growth for self, but growth of community, okay? And this is something we've all fallen into. I know I have, and I am very guilty of this. And I got a big dose of how can I make this better? Or how can I know this to my core? When I tried to take a trip to Mexico to relax myself because I had some health issues last year, and I was worried if I didn't take some time off and try to reset myself, they would get worse because it was getting out of hand. And this that I'm going to read for you is from a woman named Rachel Maddox, and you can find her on Instagram at Rachel Maddox, and I'll link it in the show notes. But the challenge with being raised inside whiteness and capitalism is we're fed the myth of the individual hero constantly, right? There's one hero. There's not Spider-Man. There's a Spider-Man, right? I mean, Wonder Woman. There's one, right? Saving everything. I mean, that's in fantastical large amounts, but we're taught to believe that doing our part is about being the one who figures out how to save the day on our own. What in the heck? When you are in trauma, right? When you're in a traumatic situation, you're not in your right mind. You're upset. You're upset. You're thinking the worst. You're crying, right? So you need somebody who's not maybe going through that particular thing to come in and go, okay, what about A, B, and C, right? To have some other options. If we can't be the individual hero, we end up feeling shame, shut down, overwhelm, or freeze, and then deflecting and deferring responsibility. Quote, this is too big for me. Why bother? Unquote. Right? I know I've said that. But a more collaborative ethos, a more collectivized decolonial, perspective would invite you to see yourself as a single, small piece of synchronized, diverse movement comprised of millions. And that's in caps. I love that. Movement comprised of millions. So you're not stagnant. You're able to move. And there's all these pieces, parts, right? We're all connected. None of us, quote, saving the day, unquote, on our own. None of us required to show up in the exact same way. None of us solely responsible. All of us contributing our human-sized part. All of us sharing our unique form of genius. All of us carrying the weight and the vision together because it is absolutely too big to carry alone. Don't get trapped in the myth of the individual hero. See yourself as a small, necessary part of the whole. Every act is a drop in the ocean of momentum towards greater collective healing. You matter inside the we. And Free Palestine. And by the way, she is a Jewish woman that is taking it upon herself to business witchery. This is her title. And sense your wildest wisdom in your work in our world. Anyways, interesting. She's an author also. But she considers herself an anti-Zionist Jew. But follow her on Instagram if you are interested in Israeli apartheid for beginners and understanding more of where this is coming from, right? This isn't just coming from what's happening now. We're seeing more of it because we need it to stop the killing. But where this is coming from root-wise, okay? Because a lot of that hasn't been publicly said at all. And you do have to seek it out. And again, I have a list of books that I've read a lot of and studied myself and